News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So I'm going to jump back. By the way, the phone lines are open. You want to call in? Love to hear from you. 866-494-9866. I heard, I think it was Jeff Hoare said a moment ago on the Grand Council, which was not the normal Grand Council, but nonetheless, I heard that he said, and I'm trying to find it. I should have looked. There's something coming out of the January 6th, you know, Three Ring Circus Commission, saying that that there were a number of members of Congress who were asking for pardons from Trump. And I have to question, so what? That's my question. We were talking during a break, the three of us during the Grand Council there. And one of the things that was said was that apparently it's being said that apparently, let me rephrase that. It's being said that Mo Brooks had requested a pardon from Trump. And I have to look at it still to go, so what? If this was a big deal, wouldn't they have done something a while back? Seeing what we're seeing nowadays, why would somebody not ask for a pardon? Because you got a January 6th commission that is literally just doing nothing but, you know, creating stuff in some ways out of thin air. Some of it, I mean, granted, January 6th happened. All right, let's go ahead and be clear. Because I had some people take me to task on social media. You just tried to play it down when they tried to destroy our government. No, I just tried to destroy the government. That was the stupidest thing. It was not an insurrection. Insurrection under the legal definition is not what happened on January 6th. Was it a riot? Potentially, yes. Was it wrong? Absolutely. Should it have happened? No. Did a bunch of, you know, Trump fans and MAGAites kill a bunch of people? No. The only person who died was a member of the protesters, Ashley Babbitt. She's the only one who died because of actions at the scene. Now, there were others who had injuries. Yes. There was property damage. Yes. There were things that should never have happened. Yes. I don't care if you like Nancy Pelosi or not. You don't need to break into her office and put your feet on her desk and think it's funny. It's not. But the idea that we're going to have this January 6th commission talking about the attempts to tear down democracy as we know it. Shut up. It didn't happen. It was never like that. It was people who were mad, who were trying to make their voices known, and they were going about it all entirely the wrong way. Never should have done that way. Never should have gone that way. In fact, if nothing else, I will say this. The true protest should have stayed outside, down on the mall, and then the other form of protest should have been the congressmen and senators who were willing to go to the floor of their respective bodies and make the case for why things were so irregular that they need to be examined. Now, did Trump overstep? Maybe. Did people do things wrong? Yes. If somebody asked for a pardon, so freaking what? Show me why that was bad. I don't know what, other than trying to smear the names of their fellow members of Congress, I'm not sure what the benefit is in saying, and look here, they asked for a pardon. Well, they've got people like you holding Russia collusion hearings for the last 3 years. Why would they not? If Trump's not going to be there, they're a little concerned about what's going to happen when people like Adam Schiff are in charge. So there's that. By the way, I was talking a lot about the pain at the pump thing. You know, once again, Copper, I didn't even get to number three on the triple dipper for the like fourth day in a row.
It's the way of it.
I'm saying. So national insecurity is probably not going to happen today. But nonetheless, I still got this thing, pain at the pump. It's amazing to me. You know, I did a whole segment the other day. I don't know if you remember this or not. We're basically showing all of the different ways by which the Biden administration has chosen to create a crisis and then use extraordinary emergency powers to then solve the crisis they created. Not the least of, I know, it's crazy, isn't it? Not the least of which is, allegedly, Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm is saying that the president may use the Defense Production Act to demand more production. He's the one that is shutting down production. I don't care what kind of plea he makes. And by the way, when he made that speech yesterday, I looked at it, I thought, he looks like he's lost, like he's got this incredulous look on his face the whole time. Did someone just give him Botox in his forehead? What is happening right now? And his eyes are wide open, he's staring, maybe he's trying to see the monitor, I'm not sure. But Granholm came out and said, in this article I've got from Fox Business, no president alone can control gas prices. I got news. Trump did. We were energy independent. We were a net exporter of oil and gas. We were paying $2 a gallon less at the pump than we are now. And we were not beholden to foreign countries. And why in God's name we're going to go beg Saudi Arabia and negotiate with Iran and Venezuela to get some of their energy production when we have the capacity right here at home, but he's shutting down oil and gas leases, overregulating the industry and, you know, killing the pipelines. And then he goes, I'm doing everything I can to try and reduce. I tell you what, I'm going to put a 90-day moratorium on this 18 cents federal gas tax we've got. okay, please do. But that's not going to generate production. It's not. Meanwhile, at the same time, story from the Epoch Times. Biden administration spends $5 billion on electric vehicle charging stations, but no help on gas prices. Pains me. The Epoch Times reports the vast majority of the driving public in the United States uses traditional gas-powered vehicles. Yes, we do. But the Biden administration is focused on the transportation problems of electric vehicles, namely the scarcity of charging stations in many areas, rather than tracking record high gas prices. California has 13,452 EV charging stations. They also have the highest gas prices in the nation. While Alaska has the fewest, just 48. Followed by North Dakota with 57, South Dakota 59, blah, blah, blah. The Department of Transportation is set to spend big to fund more EV charging stations under the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. $5 billion has been allocated for the National Electrical Vehicle Infrastructure Formula Program. Let me ask you this. How are they going to get us to buy the vehicles? So first of all, I was talking to someone recently who has an EV, and they drove to the beach from North Alabama to Gulf Shores-ish, Orange Beach, somewhere down there. And they literally got concerned as they began to recognize that the needle was going down. They found a charging station somewhere down around, I think, Montgomery. It took an hour and 40 minutes to charge it to the level that they were comfortable continuing the drive. I also had somebody called in just the other day and say, listen, just so you understand, and it was a great call. Called in the other day here on this show and said, you know, with the background as an expert in the industry, and said, just want you to know, if we're plugging in all of our EVs at night, our electric vehicles at night, well, that's the time when the peak energy usage is supposed to be down. And so if they have to increase energy production, most of the TVA area is on coal. So they're going to burn more coal at night when they wouldn't have burned more coal because people are charging their vehicles overnight. Interesting. You could almost look at it and go, well, yeah, but okay. But then he said, but when you break it all down, it takes an average of 65 pounds of coal to charge one vehicle. And I thought, oh my gosh, when you put it in numbers, you're like, okay, so why is this good? Well, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg may withhold or withdraw funding from a state, he says, if it fails to submit its plan in time. In other words, you've got to have your state EV infrastructure deployment plan by August 1st of this year in order to get these funds. Well, certain states are going to crawl all over themselves trying to get them, and other states are going to go, what do you want from us? Well, we'll see. Never mind the fact that, you know, you've got slave labor for the most part mining the cobalt in foreign countries to build the batteries for these. It's on and on and on. And by the way, I don't mind electric vehicles. Charlene and I took a trip for our anniversary last year, our 35th anniversary last fall, and we took an Uber across town, and it was a Tesla. And man, I'm going to tell you right now, it was a smooth, quiet ride. It was crazy cool. I mean, golf carts make more noise than this car did. And it was just smooth as glass. And I thought, this is very cool. And the guy told me, he says, yeah, I charge it like, you know, every few nights. And I don't have to buy any gas to earn my way as an Uber guy. I just pay the power bill. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, actually. But then what if you're the guy who commutes? Or what if you're the one who has to ship goods to market? Or what if you're the one who owns the trucking company and you have to revise your fleet? Gets a little hairy, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, right now, Democrats are freaking out. Fox News reports, as of June 22nd, MSNBC, Washington Post, and ABC are all warning voters against gas prices influencing their vote in November. In other words, they're saying, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Don't watch that. Go vote your heart for other policies that don't matter as much. All right, Copper, go ahead and take us to a break. We'll come back and finish up this show here in just a minute, folks. It has been some more kind of a day. I love it when folks are calling in. We can take a couple of calls if you want to by the time we get back from this break. 866-494-9866. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I got somebody held on during the break on the phones. Let me just grab that real quick. Victor from Huntsville. Victor, how you doing?
Hey, good. So this is Victor Lima.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Good to listen to you. The thing about Biden saying and his proponents saying you cannot blame him for high gas prices, flip that around. You know that if gas prices were less than $2, he would be taking credit for that.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And there's a couple of ways you can know that. One is he goes out and says, hey, just lower your prices. And he whispers it to him, just lower your prices. So if they did that overnight, he would take credit for that. I'll give you another example of how he would take credit for it. We have a baby formula problem. Well, let's fly in baby formula from overseas and send it here like we would do to any third world country. Did he take credit for that? You know he did.
Yeah.
So if gas prices were lower, he would take credit, which means when gas prices are high, guess who we should blame?
Absolutely. That's great analysis, and you're absolutely correct. And right now, he deserves all the blame. But
you have a good night, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Victor. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, and by the way, they're freaking out. They know right now what they had really hoped was going to happen was the Democrats were going to come in, and the adults were going to be the ones in charge now, like they said, and they were going to have a January 6th commission that would have all this evidence of things that you need to know, and then they're also going to have the infrastructure plan, $5 trillion or whatever it was of spending on new roads and bridges. And there's an old joke in politics, especially local politics, that asphalt buys votes. And I used to call it the weaponization of asphalt. But yeah, they're going to build all these roads and bridges. It's going to be awesome. It's not happening that way. Right now, what they're seeing is the voters are looking at what's happening to their wallets. And in the economy, the economy is the number one issue right now. I mean, there are things happening that are, you know, across the board are jacked up. Like Drill Sergeant used to say, they are ate up like a soup sandwich. But the one that is getting the most attention is what is happening to people's wallets. When you can't go buy a loaf of bread for the same price you did a year ago, when you can't buy gas, it's almost $2 a gallon higher than it was a year and a half ago. When you're looking at bacon being like 18% higher than it was a year ago, and when you see an inflation at 8.6%, well, right now, Democrats are freaking out. FoxNews.com dated June 22nd. MSNBC, Washington Post, ABC figures warn, their pundits, warn voters against gas prices influencing their vote in November. What? After downplaying concerns about the economy in the last year, Some media outlets are now panicking that high gas prices and inflation will tank Democrats in the midterm elections, with some pundits even scolding voters for making it their priority. I got news. It is a priority. Feeding the family and commuting to work, that's a priority. Washington Post columnist Catherine Rampel told readers it was a wild fantasy to believe that the GOP could lower gas prices, never mind the fact that we just did a year and a half ago. Lord. As she warned voters to, quote, think carefully about what they'll get if they cast their ballot based on gas prices. Okay. She went on to say, the president does not have some super secret special dial on his desk that can adjust gas prices, but he did. You know, to Victor's point a minute ago, he wants to take credit when it goes down. Well, he deserves the credit when it goes up. I got news. Where were gas prices when he took office? Where are they now? Did he change policies related to the oil and gas industry? Yes, he did. Did the gas go up roughly 30% or more before Putin invaded Ukraine? Oh, yes, it did. I mean, it goes on and on and on. On MSNBC's Morning Joe, branding guru Donnie Deutsch fretted that pocketbook issues would win out with voters this year and in 2024 as more important to them than America's democracy being in peril. January 6th. See, that was their thing. That was one of their big issues. January 6th and infrastructure spending were going to be their big winning issues, and it's not working. Polling bears out right now, it says, with surveys consistently showing inflation is the most significant issue to Americans right now, and that includes gas. A recent Fox News poll found 41% of voters say inflation will be an important factor in their midterm decisions, well above issues like guns and abortion. Another poll from ABC News earlier this month found 71% of Americans disapprove of Biden on inflation. There you have it, folks. The pain at the pump, luckily, it's turning into their pain at the pump because they're starting to feel the results of the policies themselves. All right, folks, great day. Well, we got a bigger day even tomorrow. You stay tuned. Copper and I back here again tomorrow at 2. Coming up now, you got the great one, Mark Levin, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all have a great night.